But that's mostly a 2027 story and beyond. But meanwhile, we've got the dollars to invest and continue to advance our other projects. So that's what we're doing. I think we'll end the year with probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million in the bank after we execute our $60-70 million program. So I think that's what's unusual about our company, and that we're generating strong cash flows, and we've got a very aggressive exploration plan that we're executing on our three other projects, Lucky Shot, Johnson Tract, and Kitsault.
Rick Van Nieuwenhuyse, Contango Silver and Gold, how are you?
Doing well back in Fairbanks. How are you, Andy?
Doing good. It's really good to see you, man. We saw you a month ago in Atlanta. I'm sure it was great and beneficial for you. But really what I want to talk about are a couple of things: your drill program, your last quarter, and then what you got on deck. But let's start really with the last qu quarter. Give me the 30,000-foot view on that.
Yeah, well, we've been doing a lot of marketing. Your conference there in Atlanta kind of kicked off Sean and I doing a two-continent hit. We went down to Florida after your conference, and then we went over to Europe, and so it's been a very busy quarter of marketing. You wouldn't know it with the share price down, but I think that has more to do with where the market is. The gold market is just in a consolidation phase, and basically, the war in Iran just seems to have resulted in the gold prices, the precious metal prices coming down, gold and silver probably harder hit than gold. But then, and that's I think that's just because everybody's going to the dollar, and they've got to buy oil from somebody, and that somebody wants dollars, and so dollar strength, gold weakness, gold silver weakness. But it's a $4,500 plus or minus consolidation phase. So if that's what the summer looks like, that's what the summer looks like. But we're in good shape financially. We just finished up our quarter, as you mentioned. Got a $9 million distribution from the joint venture. So that's always nice when you're selling gold and making money. And then we're actually in the middle of the second batch of the year, which started in earlier in May and will go probably into mid-June, and that's so that's rolling along. And first batch this year was we were a little light on ounces. We had guided towards 10,000. I think we came up about 82 or so. And this has always been the slow year for the mine plan, because they're transitioning from that north pit, which is dominantly oxide, to the south pit, which has some oxide in it, but it's mostly sulfide. It's a deeper pit. It's a bigger ore body. So anyway, our costs were always going to be high this year, and our overall production was going to be lower. We'd guided towards 40 to 45,000 ounces of production, and higher costs. And then, whereas we get the benefit of all that next year because we've done the pre-stripping in the south pit, so we're going to be producing 75 to 80,000 ounces of gold and at much lower costs. The guidance was 1,200 to 1,300 for next year, and I think it was 18 to 1,900 this year. So we're making money. We're producing gold. I think things plus or minus are on target. Q1, as I said, was we're a little light on ounces, and I think the three reasons were that they had the belt fire at Fort Knox, so that put the main crusher out of commission until they got that fixed, which is now fixed. But for Q1, they had to use portable crushers, which work, but it has an operational complexity. And then the wintertime operations is always, that's always the tough month or the tough quarter, is that first winter time of the year. Now it's nice, and so it's a little it's a little easier to just process. And then third, again, that transition from oxide to sulfide, we're seeing recoveries dip a little bit as well. So that's kind of where we are operationally, and that's where we where we are. We'll look forward to Q2. Probably wrap it up mid-month, and so we won't be reporting on results until about 6 weeks later. That's typically the lag time in production versus processing.
Right. Well, you said a couple of key things. Let me just tug on the consolidation in the market here. We had such a great run up last year, and I think that you certainly could chalk it up to the conflict going over in the Middle East, that being part of it. But it also seems to me that the market needed a little bit of a break in consolidation, which is very typical. Is that your opinion?
Yeah, I think we're in a consolidation phase. I mean, look, $4,500 gold is not a bad gold price.
Right.
We're a lot, everybody's making very good money right now. As we've talked about before, our objectives this year are to pay off the debt and deliver into all the hedge books. So we are completely free and 100% exposure to the upside in the gold price. But that's mostly a 2027 story and beyond. But meanwhile, we've got the dollars to invest and continue to advance our other projects. So that's what we're doing. I think we'll end the year with probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $60 million in the bank after we execute our $60-70 million program. So I think that's what's unusual about our company, and that we're generating strong cash flows, and we've got a very aggressive exploration plan that we're executing on our three other projects, Lucky Shot, Johnson Tract, and Kitsault.
Yeah, and comment a little bit about that. My words to my viewers and listeners. Yeah, Contango is presenting printing. That printing is the wrong word. Is making a lot of cash, but what really, it's not. That's only part of the story. And you're really different in that you have this cash generation here, but then you have this huge upside in all the exploration that you are doing that you just mentioned. Comment about the exploration, what's on the docks really for exploration through the next and through the end of the year.
Yeah, so we'll just kind of knock them off one by one, starting with Lucky Shot. We started an underground drill program there in December of the last year, and we actually wrapped up what we call phase one, which was the 2080 West Drift. So we're underground, we have the main Ensearch tunnel, and then we have these sort of drifts that go off left and right from the main tunnel. So we're finished drilling. We've released two batches of results that are showing that the vein is mineralized, we'll have one more batch of results, I think, here in a few weeks. They're just finishing up the last the assays and the QAQC process, and then we start drilling on the surface now in about 3 weeks or so. I think the drillers arrive, and the snow should be cleared off the top of the mountain at that point. If you've seen the photos of Lucky Shot, it's a pretty dramatic mountain, and the snow does accumulate up on top. But snow's clear at the portal level, but it'll probably take another couple of weeks to get it off. We got that nice warm northern latitude sun right now, so it's melting the snow pretty quick. And then we got the driller, or sorry, we got the miners that have come in underground now. With the drillers out of there, the miners get back to work and build some more tunnels for us to do more exploration work. So that's about a $21 million program this year. So and it'll last all year. We'll be drilling underground once the miners get done with one of the other drifts, and we can get the drillers back in there, and they just kind of tag team it. And so lots of drill results from that, and obviously with the objective of putting together a feasibility level mine plan, and then transportation plan. And then we'll work out we'll have a discussion with Fort Knox at that time and decide if it goes there or if we've got another alternative to send the ore down. Of course, we have the railroad 20 miles from Lucky Shot, so that really helps with gives up some flexibility on where we can take the ore for processing, because
Yeah,
we're going to use that DSO model.
Yeah, that's fantastic too. And comment a little bit about it's when I first met you, it was, gosh, Rick, it's kind of quick. It was a couple of years ago, and you were explaining to me the model about it's never easy, but just how I think the right word is simple or not complex. Your model's not complex because you're on state lands. Is that correct? Can we comment a little bit about that? So the permitting is a lot easier.
Yeah, so with the DSO, the direct shipping ore model, there are really three criteria that we focus on. Has to have good grade, high grade. It has to be close to existing infrastructure, so you don't have to permit and build your own infrastructure. And I always point out to that the Donlin project is a great project. It's a huge ore body and it's high grade for an open pit, but it's in the middle of nowhere, so you have to not only build a bunch of infrastructure, you've got to permit it, and that takes time and money. So our model with not building but basically transporting the ore to an existing permitted mill gets rid of those two important steps. So we're capital light because we're not building a mill and a tailings facility, and we leapfrog the permitting process because we're not permitting very much. And if we work on private land, which all of our projects in Alaska are on private land, Manh Choh is on private land, Johnson Tract and Lucky Shot, all on private land, that is the easiest land to permit on. A few other things that are technical, more technical in nature, we'd like to look at projects. And when we use our filter, it's one of the evaluation things to do is if you're above the water table, that makes your life so much easier to start your mine. And so those are, Manh Choh is above the water table, Lucky Shot's above the water table, Johnson Tract is above the water table. And that's not to say that the ore body won't eventually get down to the water table, but that means we have, 3, 4, or 5 years to permit that. We don't have to worry about it up front. So, anyways, those are the criteria. All of our projects obviously meet that criteria: high grade, close to infrastructure, and on in Alaska they're on private land. So, that makes life easier, capital light, and shortens the time frame for permitting.
Yeah, it sure does. And I misspoke. I said state land, but you're on private land, which is even better. I mean, that's the sweet spot in all of this. And so I applaud the strategy. I certainly buy into the strategy. And just to all my viewers and listeners, I am a shareholder, and Contango is a sponsor of NRS.net. Walk me through, you just picked up all these, well, with your merger. Talk a little bit about what's the plan really now to develop what was the Dolly Varden projects.
Yeah, so we just refer to it as Kitsault Valley now, or just Kitsault. It's in northern BC. It's actually literally just across the border from Alaska, so we haven't ventured too far from home. And it's a great project. It's high grade silver, lead zinc, some copper, and then that's one cluster, and then there's a second cluster that is more gold rich, so gold and silver. That's the Homestake, Maine, whereas the silver only, or silver lead zinc, is the Dolly Varden mine, the original Dolly Varden mine, the Torbrit mine. Those were very high grade mines back in the day. And so I guess first step for Kitsault is releasing an updated MRE, mineral resource estimate. We were shooting to have it done by the end of June, but it looks like it's going to slip into July here. One of our consultants that's helping us with that is had a scheduling issue, so we're probably going to get delayed a couple of weeks here, but we'll still get it done. And so that's one of the first things that from a publishing, public market standpoint, we'll get that MRE out. And we've got underway now about a 40,000 meter drill program with five drill rigs turning as I speak, so it's very busy out there. We're also collecting a lot of other information. We have environmental studies we're doing. We're going to look at upgrading the road. There's a road that connects Alice Arm to the Dolly Varden and Torbrit mines. And so we're looking at refurbishing that road, reestablishing that road. So we just had a big call yesterday on the plans for that. And I have to point out that the Dolly Varden and Torbrit mines were actually DSO mines back in the day when they were operated. There's no mill in the Kitsault Valley. There never was. They mined the ore. They shipped it on barges to straight to the processing facility. So we're kind of just repeating what has been done before, and you can afford to do that when you have high grade. So if you want to get into production quickly and you want to make money quickly, this DSO model is the way to do it.
Yeah, and it's not like you're reinventing the wheel. In fact, that's what you told me a couple of years ago. You're just basically you have a process and a system, and just following the process and the system, which is the most economical to get to production and start mining.
Yeah, the only, you know, the obviously the Manh Choh has worked out well with Fort Knox, processing the ore there. I think Lucky Shot will likely go to Fort Knox, but we do have another option. And one of the things we are looking at is purchasing our own mill. And there are a couple of idle mills in BC that we're taking a look at. And so we'll conduct proper due diligence and make some decisions on that going forward here. But we've got time. We don't need to make a decision this month or next month or anything. But our objective is to kind of hone in on one of these opportunities this year, and then see if we can get something put together.
That's music to my ears, and it's good to have a lot of optionalities, which you guys have.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing I always think is a bit unique about Contango is we only have 33 million shares outstanding. So
Very
other
tight.
companies, our peer group companies that are in production and producing, say 50 to 100,000 ounces of gold or an equivalent in silver, they have, 400 or 500 million shares outstanding. So we have an order of magnitude less, fewer shares outstanding. So that also gives us some interesting flexibility in terms of what we can accomplish.
Yeah, not only is a very tight share structure, and that was another thing that as a shareholder I'm very grateful for, but that's probably the number one thing after the assets that a company has is they look at a share structure, and you guys are really tight. But another thing too, you guys are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. That's a great listing.
Yeah, we're both we're U.S. companies, or we're based here in Fairbanks, Alaska. I think we're the only New York Stock Exchange listed company based in Fairbanks, Alaska. And in fact, there aren't very many in the whole state of Alaska. I think there are two other banks that are New York Stock Exchange listed. And we also trade in Toronto, but our main listing is U.S. And by far, we're on the order of $15 million of stock trades a day. That's sort of our trading liquidity at this time.
Yeah, a lot of liquidity, a lot of great volume. Rick, just one thing before we leave. Is there anything investors really need to be atten pay attention for over the next couple of weeks or a couple of months until I have you on again?
Yeah, I'd say just pay attention to drill results. We're drilling up a storm. We'll have lots of results out from Lucky Shot and Kitsault. Johnson Tract is in that boring permitting stage, so we're not doing any exciting drilling at Johnson Tract, just that hard nose to the grindstone permitting work. And we're building a road there too, but that's to connect the camp and the portal site. But it's mostly the drill results. The MRE, of course, from Kitsault, that'll be out, and that's really going to guide where a lot of the drilling goes, because we want to expand, infill, and expand whatever we need to do. Because the objective there is to do a preliminary economic study or initial assessment, in the U.S. Terminology, on Kitsault. So we basically put the development plan together at an initial level, but that'll give people an idea. Okay, this is a mine. It's going to have a rate of return, and they're going to start here, and they're going to produce silver, and then they're going to produce more gold and silver, because it is a district. Like I said, we've got five known deposits. We are going to explore some new stuff this year, put some drill holes in some virgin ground in terms of any work that we've done. So there's lots of excitement to come out of both Lucky Shot and Kitsault drilling. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, fantastic. Love to have you on again soon, Rick. And you can come on anytime. Rick, if people want to do more due diligence about the company. How do they do that? Give us your website as well as give us your tickers and the exchanges that you're traded on.
You bet. So NYSE and TSX, ticker symbol is CTGO. Check out our website at contangoore.com.
Yep, fantastic. Thanks, Rick. Always a pleasure. Really good to see you and looking forward to talking to you again really soon.
Andy, good to see you as well.